Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Our first guest drove in from the suburbs. I love this. He is a congressman out of the 8th District, which is Cook, DuPage, and Kane counties. Am I right on that?
That's right.
Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, it's good to see you.
Hey, same here, Pete.
Am I screwing up your last name or I finally get it right?
It's getting closer every time.
Because we've talked a half a dozen times when I filled in for Steve.
Right.
You're
right.
On loan from the Cochran Show, by
That's
the way.
That's right.
Yes, it's good to see you.
Same here, man.
Now, you had an event. I grew up in Peoria, and my mother still lives there. Half my family lives there. Of course, my cousin is Darren LaHood, the congressman down there. You and Darren had an event down there.
Yeah. First of all, it's great to be back here, Pete. So basically what we did was we did a joint town hall meeting, which is kind of unusual. We weren't really sure what to expect, but it ended up being quite a discussion, a wide-ranging discussion of the issues of the day. And believe it or not, there wasn't a lot of yelling. There wasn't screaming. It was kind of a reasoned discussion, and I learned a lot.
Okay. The thing is, town hall meetings are very tough because you got people, they just want to vent, mm-hmm. and they want to be heard.
Right.
So it wasn't really like that? It was just more of a discussion?
Well, you know, I think people were candid with their questions.
Right.
Let me just, at the outset, make that clear. But on the other hand, it was kind of a polite, reasoned civil discourse. And I think that's something that's missing right now. But I think I also think that the Institute for Principal Leadership at Bradley University, which hosted it, did a great job of moderating the discussion and making sure that, you know, we were really talking about substance and not just rhetoric or anything like that.
I love it. Hold on a second, Congressman. We have some breaking news up in the newsroom. Domati, what do you have for us?
Yeah, an update on our top story. Murder suspect Travis Ryan King is now in custody. He was arrested moments ago. Now, this is the man suspected of killing four people at the Waffle House near Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have more information on that per Steve Bertrand at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you, Domati. We're going to talk about gun laws in a second, but back to the town hall meeting. I know Darren does that from time to time because I see it on his Facebook page, and I've seen video from that, and everybody's angry about politics right now. Do you hold these town hall meetings up here?
Yes, I think I've held roughly 20 town halls and public forums in my district. I find that to be the best way to get immediate feedback about what's on people's minds. It's really easy to kind of, you know, have filters between you and your constituents, and it's much better to just talk to them directly, and that's what I believe in.
Why is everybody so angry about politics?
I think that, you know, there was polarization to some degree even before Donald Trump got elected, but after he got elected, I think the polarization has become worse. I think that the president has not, you know, lessened that, and in some ways he's inflamed it, you know, sometimes through his provocative tweets or his statements. And I think that, you know, if anything, the people that I run into, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, want to see more of what I think was on display at the joint town hall with Darren and me, which
right.
was, you know, we don't have to be disagreeable to disagree on the issues. You know, we want to be civil and reasoned and polite and kind of talk about these things, you know, substantively.
You've always said that you'll work across the aisle. You'll work with Republicans, you being a Democrat. You talk about being sensible. I mean, I feel like you get an elected official, he or she is in office and they're worried about getting reelected.
Right.
And if you reach across the aisle, your base is going to say, hold on a second, they're working with the other team's party. I don't know if I like this person.
It's possible, yes. You know, in
so
my,
it all turns into a game.
It turns into a game, but I think that you really have to figure out those places where you're going to stand up for your values and your conscience and, you know, where you have to be the loyal opposition, so to speak.
Right.
And then where you have to, you know, reach out to people on the other side and work on issues of, you know, common interest. For instance, in my case, my great passion and focus in this Congress is career technical education, the issue that, you know, maybe a four-year college degree isn't for everybody, but a post-secondary education has to be. So working with a Republican congressman from Pennsylvania named G.T. Thompson, we actually passed a bill out of Congress to modernize our career technical education system.
Right.
It was not only bipartisan, but it was unanimous.
That seems like a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. And, you know, because I think we did it the old-fashioned way, which was through compromise, it got through the House. But, you know, on the other hand, I've also been very vocal in my opposition to, you know, the various ethical lapses on the part of the Trump administration, this issue of potential collusion with Russia during the 2016 cycle and so forth. So I've managed to do both, and right. I'm going to continue to.
I don't want to wake up on Saturday morning and hear about my president calling the former director of the FBI a slimeball. That's me. I just think that the person in power, if that person is unstable, it trickles down to everybody.
I think,
and that's one of the reasons that everyone is so angry about politics.
I think that's exactly right. And for that matter, I just say that the tone at the top, you know, basically is mimicked throughout the government. So, you know, with regard to ethical lapses, if there are ethical lapses at the White House, you know, people like Scott Pruitt think that it's just fine to buy a $43,000 soundproof phone booth that you'd only see in Get Smart. And he buys
what
it for his
office. What goes through
a
person's mind?
You know?
Yes.
That's just crazy, you know?
It's just nuts. Congressman Raja in studio with us. We follow each other on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
Barbara Bush passed away at the age of 92. She was being laid to rest on Saturday. There's a wonderful picture of the Obamas, the Clintons, Melania Trump, and both President Bushes in this picture. And you zoomed in on the socks that H.W. Bush was wearing. They had books on them.
Yes.
And your tweet was, his wife was all about literacy and reading.
Yes. You know, God bless Barbara Bush and the Bush family. And they really are in our thoughts and prayers right now. You know, I think that Barbara Bush stood for you know, basically making sure that all children were educated, that they're literate citizens, and that's something that we have to celebrate.
Right.
I'm glad he did so with his socks.
Yeah, he did. How about him greeting the mourners on Friday? He went in, paid his respects to his wife. He had a private moment. Then they opened the doors to the public. You know, 3,000-4,000 people walked through.
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
And he shook hands as people walk by.
Amazing. I think, you know, that type of humility is really missing right now. And, you know, look, I disagreed with George H.W. Bush's policies, but the way they conduct themselves, at least as president and now as former presidents, is, you know, I think that's something that's a model for others.
It's interesting. George W. spoke last week so eloquently about his mother and talked about her faith, and you're listening to him, or at least I was thinking, wow, he sounds so presidential now compared to what we have. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I think a Saturday Night Live skit summed it up. I think, do you like me now is the right refrain from George W. Bush.
The Senate changed the rules to let Senator Tammy Duckworth be allowed to bring her baby on the Senate floor. And people are saying, why did she have to do that? Well, she didn't have to, but it was time.
Yes.
I mean, here's a woman that's a senator and she's nursing her child. Why not?
It's exactly right. Look, Senator Tammy Duckworth has paid her dues in so many ways for our country. And now when she is having a child, it's a time for celebration. And obviously, in a society where we want women to be able to rear their children and be able to fulfill and pursue their God-given talents and ambitions.
Right.
Why would we ever prevent her from doing her job?
Or any other woman, you're
or
right.
Or any other woman.
My mother's a working mother who had 12 children. My wife, all my sisters, I have four sisters. Yeah, they all work.
They all work. And to their credit, I believe that this was done through what's called unanimous consent in the Senate, which means that 100% of the senators agreed with the rules change, which I think
it's about
time.
And it was nice to see both sides of the aisle embrace her as she brought her baby in.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was pretty cool. Congressman Raja in studio. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about gun laws and immigration and a few other things. Okay. It's 720 WGN. In studio with us is Congressman Raja. People can follow you on Twitter. What's your handle?
This is Congressman Raja.
Okay. That's easy.
Yeah.
Krista Morthy. Am I pronouncing that right?
Getting closer, man.
And we've done this for a year. We've done this dance for a year.
It's okay.
You don't even care anymore.
I already told you what happened when I introduced myself in Chicago when I was campaigning for office.
Oh, no.
I said, Raja Krishnamurthy, and someone said, Roger Christian Murphy. Very nice to meet you. Just call me Murph.
It happens. You're an immigrant.
I am.
My great-grandfather came over from Lebanon. He's an immigrant. Okay, what do you think about the immigration laws?
You know, we used to have a welcome sign on the front door of America, and I'm concerned that we're yanking that welcome sign away. We attract the hardest working, some of the most talented people, some of the brightest people from around the world to start our businesses here and to employ people to help the American workforce and economy. And now we're turning those people away, and that's a big problem.
The sanctuary city, Chicago, there was a ruling, I want to say it was Thursday or Friday, that said, hey, you got to still grant Chicago federal money, even though President Trump said, if you're a sanctuary city, we're going to hold back your cash. Well, we took him to court and the mayor won. He was very happy about that.
Well, look, I think that this whole issue of the sanctuary cities basically boils down to this, which is that I don't think that local authorities are trying to get in the way of federal authorities and what they're trying to do. It's just that they're saying, look, we are not going to be your instruments with regard to law enforcement. And we're going to have to, you know, pursue our local policies and priorities. Not to mention the fact that, you know, you need a lot of people. You need everyone in the community to cooperate with regard to law enforcement.
Right.
And, you know, I think what the federal authorities are doing is kind of driving these communities apart and making it more unsafe for everybody in the community locally.
This shooting in Nashville.
Yes.
This kid whose guns were taken away. He's from Morton, Illinois, Tazewell County. The sheriff said over the weekend that his guns were taken away and his father came and picked up his guns and his father ended up giving the guns back to the kid. He travels down to Nashville, walks into the Waffle House, and thankfully he was arrested today, but killed four people and two others are in the hospital.
Right, with an AR-15 assault style rifle.
Why should that assault rifle be on the street? Gun owners would say it's a slippery slope. You take that away from us, what's next?
I understand. So I'm from Peoria, Illinois, just like you, and there a lot of people own firearms and they use them for completely lawful purposes.
My brother's a hunter.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hunting, yeah. Sportsmanship, marksmanship, etc. And we have a Second Amendment, and I respect that. But I think that most law-abiding citizens right now, Republicans and Democrats, are asking certain questions. Like, for instance, why aren't universal background checks instituted to make sure that people with severe mental illness or people with a history of violence are allowed to have
that? Seems very sensible.
Why are certain assault-style rifles still available for public sale? You know, Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, Kroger's, and others took an affirmative move to basically remove these from their shelves because, quite frankly, they understand what most people understand, which is that these are not necessarily weapons that should be available widely.
Right.
And so...
Or used for sport.
Right,
yes.
Right, right. And you know, they are definitely not, you know, the head of... Dick's Sporting Goods is one of the most, you know, fervent Republicans out there.
Right.
This is not a partisan issue. I think we have to take certain steps forward. The last thing I would say is we talk about these mass shootings, but there's a slow-moving massacre that happens every day in this country. There are 33,000 gun deaths, one-third of which are homicides, two-thirds are suicides. I've introduced a bill, a three-day waiting period at the national level, which doesn't remove guns from lawful citizens' hands or prevent them from getting them. It just removes the notion of impulses driving the purchase of guns and then
right.
used in homicides. It's been shown to have a 20% drop in homicides, 10% drop in suicides. It's a three-day waiting period, but I can't get traction on it because there's so much opposition from the NRA and other entities.
Congressman, it's Steve upstairs. I'm interested in this young man in Tennessee. His guns were taken from him after an arrest outside the White House, and instead of being confiscated and kept, they apparently were given to his father. Now, I don't know if it was ATF or Secret Service who first took the guns or local police, but it seems to me to be a problem in the process there if you confiscate the guns from one person and then give them to a family member.
100%. I agree with you. I don't understand how that was allowed to occur.
Should that person moving forward be punishable by law?
I don't know. We have to look at this. But the one thing I would say is I wouldn't give the guns back to the family where that person lives. I think that we have to retain them, especially where this person has a history of illegal gun possession or gun violence, or in this case, taking it to the White House. I mean, this is just crazy that he would be able to get his guns back.
Right.
But can I just say one thing? We talked about there are four victims of that shooting at the Waffle House. I just read a really poignant story about James Shaw, who basically ran out of nowhere,
what a rock
tackled
star.
The guy, threw his assault-style rifle over the counter at the Waffle House, and saved untold number of other victims
from
dying.
I love that story.
And, that just shows you that, for all the, bad and evil out there, there's a lot of good as well.
Yes, he's a hero. He said he thought of his 5-year-old daughter and grabbed the gunman took the gun and threw it away.
My God.
Wow, good stuff. And you've talked to John Williams about doing a town hall meeting up here. I'm in 100%.
Okay, yeah.
I want to be a part of that.
You know,
absolutely.
Darren already agreed we'd do a home and away. one in Peoria.
That's
one
the basketball player in Darren.
I guess it's home and home for me. We just got to – I got to say that we just got to bring a little more decency to our politics, a little more civility. And, Darren and I wrote a joint op-ed saying titled What Happened in Peoria Shouldn't Stay in Peoria.
Right.
And we wanted to get out and share this with others.
It's okay to disagree. Let's have a civil discussion.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
It's all right. We're all not going to agree on everything. Congressman Raja, thanks for making the trip downtown. It's
absolutely
good to see you.
Thank you, Pete.
And I'll see you soon.
Absolutely.